We're going to take a little detour and go back and review some of the things about the theology of the cross, and mainly the influence of Greek philosophers on Christianity, which, to begin with, the theology of the cross reveals that the real seat of sin is not in the flesh, but it's in our own spiritual aspirations. And that it becomes then a theology of glory. What happens in the cross and with the cross is that it's totally and completely against any concept that we could have of what it means. Even you can only do it. You can only die. You can't talk about dying. You can't justify not dying. It's just, it slams against you like a brick wall. The theology of the cross is an offense to everybody. It attacks what we usually think is the best of religion. I'm not picking on you and looking at you on purpose, but it's just sort of the way I'm looking here.
That's okay. Sorry, you're gonna flatten out here.
Is the chair falling apart?
Okay.
That'd be sad.
If it wasn't for John, I'd have busted my butt a couple of times.
I have perfect angles.
Just like I have a perfect angle. The theology of the cross does not concern itself about what is bad in our religion or our lives. It is concerned with exposing the pretensions of so-called good works. And that pretentiousness is an automatic in our minds. Does everybody understand? And it's the theology of the cross can only be spoken of in contrast to all other theologies. And from the cross's standpoint, everything else is a religion of glory, because it's set in the universal aspirations for self-seeking, self-awareness. And so really there's only two theologies in the world, two ways of thinking in the world. One is the theology of glory and the other is the theology of the cross. Everybody understand that a little bit?
Yeah, that cross is that narrow way.
The cross is death.
Yeah, and then the other one is all-inclusive.
Is all what?
All-inclusive.
Yeah, it's everything, whether it's finance or theology or psychology or psychiatry or any other ology. It's all a theology of glory. In that context, it doesn't present itself as an option among many other theologies, because there are only two. There's only the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. And the theology of glory is the fruit of the fall. It's what the Bible calls iniquity. Remember, the words, three words for the thing we usually think of as the same thing: iniquity, trespass, and sin. Iniquity created the trespass of sin, and then its companion It's even hurts my mind to even talk about this. The idea that sin, trespass, and iniquity you know, until we really studied the offerings and we found out that there's a sin offering and there's a trespass offering, but you can't get to the trespass offering until you've gone through the sin offering. Then there's all the other ones, the so-called good ones. But it's a massive shock to your system when you believe sin isn't what, when you find out that sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. Trespass is what you do, and both are the result of iniquity, the fall. And this is the least studied thing in modern theology. Sin is who you are. You are the man of sin. Trespass is what the man of sin does. There's no way out.
Except God, in the beginning, provides sacrifices. Bulls and goats and sheep.
But until you know you are sin, you'll never understand the rest of the offerings. So when you know you are sin, then you rush to the cross.
Yeah.
But then once you've seen the theology of the cross and its perfection, there's no excuse ever again for anything. It's all repentance. And we're back to that thing you said yesterday. We bring every thought into captivity, and we cast down every high place and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and then even bring every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to cast them down. Because we know that those issues are from the man of sin. No matter how good you think it is and how necessary. As I've said so often lately, if you're faced with something that you think you have to lean on your own arm of understanding to accomplish it, you can never justify it. But once you try to justify it, then you've elevated the man of sin above God himself. You can only ask God and say in the lowest seat, Father, I don't know what else to do. I mean, the modern church is powerless because we don't empty. We run around and pray in God's name and in Jesus' name, but it becomes meaningless because we're still living the life of the evil one.
It's like repentance is the only response you can have to the theology of the cross.
Amen.
But all the other responses, you can have any kind of, all the other things you could possibly think to do are involved with the theology of glory.
Amen.
Because you get something out of that, but you don't ever get anything out of repentance.
It's impossible to write a systematic theology of the theology of the cross because we can't answer, and neither did God. Just think about this. This is one of the most mind-bending moments in history. God's only Son suffering to the point where the flesh was removed from his back. Agony beyond concept. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was no answer. As long as we think we have an answer or need an answer from God, then we'll never know the resurrection, because we'll automatically return to our own arm of understanding and think it's religious.
He's choking me up.
We can only die with him. See our death as complete and total. And our, when it's our, is our mind. And we can only wait for his answer. Just drives me nuts to... No, I won't go there. Cross attacks the best we have. The best we have to offer God. Doesn't concern itself with the worst. But the cross and glory are always locked in a mortal combat. That's why it's always repentance. Because you can bet on your, you can bet all that you have that your mind will always try to get you to return to the theology of glory. And as I've said so often, as you, if you try to use this mind which is cursed to gain that which is blessed, you're a fool. Can't be done. The only thing your mind can do is see the emptiness and futility and stupidity of all its activities, and that it's in direct violation to the mystery of God. It is the man of sin. This is a quote from Luther's Meditation on Christ's Passion. You must get this through your head and not doubt that you are the one who is torturing Christ thus. For your sins have surely wrought this. Therefore, when you see the nails piercing Christ's hands, you can be sure that it's because you thought you have something to do or works. When you behold his crown of thorns, you may rest assured that these are your thoughts. And when you think you have to go somewhere, and the nails are in his feet. Many shall come, saying, I am Christ. They're not saying they are Christ. They're agreeing that Jesus is the Christ, but their life denies it. We are exactly the same as the Hebrews were, the Jews were. They believed that their ticket to heaven was because of their birthright. And we believe our ticket to heaven is we've accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, whatever that means. The cross comes against and kills all of that ridiculous theology.
Is there any such thing
He alone has immortality. One of the things that I know a great deal about this one, we use the cross to try to stave off suffering or to protect us from misfortune. Real and true meaning of the theology of the cross is to make man conformable to Christ, so that your conscience becomes tormented by your sin and by your thoughts, by your secret musings. We can't even begin to understand what Jesus went through. We know he never justified himself because he was manifest in the Spirit, but he was never justified. He was never justified in the flesh. And yet we want to be justified in the flesh. Now the whole world closes in upon you. Your conscience can no longer defend you. The cross story is our only story. Not comparing theologies. It just becomes meaningless dribble. Dribble. Why always get that confused? All right. I've talked about this many times. You cannot understand the Old Testament without seeing it through the eyes of the cross. You can't understand it by study. I prove that. But yet, when you finally see it, every word testifies of him. Every blade of grass, every tree. Except you fall into the ground and die, you abide alone. The cross story then starts to claim us. It consumes us. And unless it does and becomes our only story, we will not escape the subtlety of the theology of glory that our mind wants. You must come against every high place, every imagination, every thought. And repentance is the only answer. Because this evil one, lead us not into temptation, but come. the contrary, deliver us from this evil son of a bitch. The reason there's a theology of glory is so that we can keep free will in the picture. And if any generation didn't have the concept of free will, they would invent it. Because that's the primary vehicle of the theology of glory. There's the belief in free will. There are only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. And then ultimately only one will. The will of Satan is to come against. So you can no longer justify yourself in any way. Because you automatically do the will of the evil one, which is self-realization.
So it's the will of Satan.
That's right. There's only the will of God and the will of Satan, the only two. But there's never, you, and not only did you not have free will, you never existed as an independent entity. It was always the evil one masquerading as you. He invented you. He created the whole, everything about you. That's why you must come neglecting and forgetting all that crap that is behind. He alone has immortality. He alone is life. Finally, and see the truth, but only after our death, without any resurrection of the evil one. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, mark our perimeter. This is a quote from Plato that has still influenced Christianity. Now then, God, if he be good, is not the author of all things, as the many assert, but he is the cause of a few things only, and not of most things that occur to men. For few are the few are the good things of human life, and many are the evils, and the good is to be attributed to God alone. Of the evils, the causes are to be sought elsewhere and not in him. There's been a series on the History Channel lately. They're going through the history of man and, you know, the whole thing. And they spent a whole lot of time on the whole theology, if you will, at at the time of the Salem witch trials. And it was interesting because they left the idea that the cross and everything was a theology of glory, but the evil, namely all the people that were shooting arrows at them, but what happened then is they started believing in this crap so strongly that if someone in the presence of another person that was kind of suspect started to spasm or shake, because then it was that woman had cast a spell on me. And so it was now 99% of what man was doing was attributed to the evil one. And so they went through these terrible trials and burnings, and I can't remember, it was, you know, we think it was a handful, or I did anyway, of people that were burned alive at the trials. There were hundreds of them. And the reason is this the idea that God is only the author of good things. And so all this other stuff must be attributed to devil. And now there's these guys and people that are representatives of the devil because they're not like us. But think of how much that quote from Plato and that type of thinking has influenced. How much it influences us. But this theology of the cross can never be popular. And it will not. It will make you an enemy of all men if you live it and talk it, because you're a threat to every form of thought in the universe.
Yeah, narrow is the way.
But the reason we've gotten too comfortable. Well, let's look at one more thing.
You haven't been that comfortable lately.
Huh?
So you haven't been that comfortable lately.
No. The thing that God was manifest in the spirit, but he was never justified in the flesh, and we try to justify ourselves. And that's, let me find that quote. 1 Timothy. In verse 15 of chapter 3. But if I tear, this is Paul in his last, this is not as near his last letter. No, it's not. It's not. Well, it is. Anyway, Paul is writing his instructions to Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, the ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, but justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. But we always try to make him manifest or justified in the flesh, and he can't be. And so you have these billboards of pictures of this manly Jesus. You have people like Joel Osteen, who's in many ways in my mind worse than Copeland, because his thing is all about the glory of the glory of your life that you can have with this. So it's sort of, so you can sort of, you can sort of have Jesus in the Bible over here to catch you when you fall, but God wants you to be a champion. No, he doesn't. He doesn't even see you.
Yeah, the thing you said at the very first about part of what you were reading there about people using the cross as a talisman for,
right,
you know, it's like good luck or something. You know,
yeah.
Which a lot of people...
Yeah, if they carry crosses on a necklace, and I've always said they should have a chair from the death chamber instead of the cross. Anyway, I thought it appropriate for us to do this morning.
Yeah, a quote from the Luther's Meditation.
Here's another one. We'll quit with this last one.
So I'm going to look that up because I wanted to have that actual quote.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This is from a work on the Psalms by Martin Luther, 1518. In the kingdom of his humanity and his flesh, in the which we live by faith, he makes us of the same form as himself and crucifies us by making us true humans instead of unhappy and proud gods. Humans, that is, in their misery and their sin, because in Adam we all mounted up towards equality with God. He descended to be like us, to bring us back to knowledge of himself, that is the sacrament of the incarnation. That is the kingdom of faith in which the cross of Christ holds sway, which sets at naught the divinity for which we perversely strive and restores the despised weakness of the flesh, which we have perversely abandoned. We don't see the perverseness of our own beings, and so we do sometimes because we have these thoughts and, you know, sexual fantasies and all stuff going on in the midnight hour, but the idea of we somehow think we've become better. And that's just, again, it's making the cross into the theology of glory. This is a bad religion. Who could possibly believe this? Take it, big guy. Anybody have any comments? Hey. Any thoughts or responses?
I like all the Martin Luther stuff. It'll look better. How's Pete?
What?
Is Pete home?
No, I just dropped him off.
Well, I know, but I thought you weren't supposed to leave. Pete said if you left. So the doctor or somebody that was in charge said that?
We talked to an administrator. So I've got a phone, I've got a car.
Okay.
I look like I'm reasonably dependable. So.
Okay.
Yeah, they always want somebody to
take the big guy.